And so back to nano and a brand new discovery in Oxford called exosomes, tiny packets of genetic material and proteins you release from your cells all the time. This is Professor Matthew Wood.
These vesicles are small nanoparticle-sized vesicles that we now know to be released by just about every cell in the human body.
What they like?
They are surrounded by a membrane, so there's nothing unusual about that. But they get secreted from cells and contain a large repertoire of proteins, a large repertoire of genetic material, mainly RNA, that then is able to be transported between cells and around the body in these exosome vesicles.
And they're really, really tiny, aren't they?
They are. So we would really call them sort of the body's natural nanoparticles. They are in the nano size range, about 50 to 80 nanometers in diameter, so smaller than any other vesicle that we've seen that's derived from our cells.
Why would they spread genetic material in that way?
Well, I mean, this is a very, very interesting question. We don't know. We can speculate. I mean, one of the interesting findings is that these vesicles are released in breast milk. And so mothers who breastfeed would be transferring these vesicles and their genetic contents to their babies. It's possible this may have some role in modifying or developing the baby's immune system, much as antibody transfer happens to babies. But within our own bodies, we believe that there's probably a very sophisticated system for intercellular communication. But most of the evidence that we have to date really comes from the immune system, where they seem to be involved in helping to program immune responses. But as to what they're doing in the rest of the body, we really have very little idea at the moment.
In other words, it was a surprise when you found them.
When these were first reported, I think it was a big surprise, but particularly the surprise that they contain genetic material, mainly RNA. I think that was very, very unexpected, that you had within the human body a system for the horizontal transmission of genetic material between cells and between organs within our bodies. I don't think many people had expected to find that.
And that genetic material might have an effect on, well, call it the target cells or whatever they are. What would they do there?
Well, if you think simply about RNA, and that's what we're mostly interested in because we've been able to exploit this system to develop a new type of therapy, the RNA, messenger RNAs, can be translated into proteins. So what it's been discovered is that these vesicles can transfer messenger RNAs that subsequently get translated into functional proteins within the recipient cell. So it's a very sophisticated system for one cell to reprogram other cells. And you can imagine very easily how this could be hijacked by, for example, cancers that could persuade neighbouring cells or nearby cells to also become cancerous by the transfer of genetic material. But as to normal biology, you could think a more sophisticated system of perhaps cells being able to synchronise behaviour or synchronise activities, perhaps during development where you want large numbers of cells to work in synchrony to generate a new organ or tissue. Perhaps this could be some way of synchronising those sorts of events.
It's interesting, going back to what you said about the DNA. So have you seen the exosomes produced at any particular time by the body so that you can get a sort of idea of a pattern?
No. I think that's a very, very good question. And I think those sorts of studies could be quite difficult to carry out. I mean, what we are able to look at, though, are exosomes in the blood. So we can harvest these things from the blood. We can look at these in normal animals, if you like, or normal people. But we can also look at them in people with diseases. And you do find that these contain signature proteins of disease when you look at exosomes in patients with cancer, for example. So we don't yet know what they might be doing, but they can signify by their presence in the blood that a person may have a particular type of cancer, for example, the fact that exosomes are present in the blood and contain certain protein.
And if they are messengers, well, maybe you could stymie the messenger and stop it producing the cancer.
No, exactly. So this may be not just a signature of a particular cancer. It may be underlying some mechanism by which a tumour might spread around the body. And by interrupting that communication, you may actually be able to stop the cancer in its foot tracks. You may be able to prevent malignant spread of tumours. So that's certainly one possibility. But I think some of the work that people are doing currently is to use these exosomes and their contents that you can monitor in the blood as a way of diagnosis without having to biopsy the tumour. You may not even know where the tumour is. You can take the exosomes out of the blood and look at the signature proteins that they've got and say that is from the colon, that is from the brain.
Going back to those babies having exosomes from the breast milk, now, I always thought, you know, last time I ate lettuce, which has got DNA in it, I kind of digested it, and I hope that my immune system wasn't affected too badly or at all. So when the baby is consuming these exosomes with RNA, doesn't it simply digest them?
Well, that is what you might expect. But I think this is one of the very, very interesting things about exosomes. So these are small vesicles with a fatty membrane. Now, RNAs are very, very unstable. So when RNA gets released from cells, you would expect it to be degraded almost instantly within the blood or the serum, or for that matter, in your gut. But when they're encapsulated in these fatty vesicles, they're protected. They'd be protected from enzymes in the blood, they'd be protected from low pH in the stomach, and they would be able to be transported, at least in theory, all the way through the gastrointestinal system, perhaps to be taken up by particular types of cells in the small intestine or the large intestine, and are likely to be protected en route by virtue of this fatty membrane that they are enclosed within. So the RNAs suddenly have a dramatically long half-life compared with naked RNA, which would be degraded almost instantly.
Well, that would seem to indicate, if there is a profound effect, breastfeeding becomes even more significant.
Yes, well, I think we'd like to try and understand the science first before we start becoming zealots advocating breastfeeding. But yes, I mean, I think it just tells us in some ways how ignorant we are, that suddenly you can discover something like this and realise that breast milk contains genetic material, and we have to suddenly step back and reassess what breastfeeding might be all about. Apart from nutrition, what else is it doing in terms of reprogramming or programming the baby's immune system, the baby's gastrointestinal system, the baby's behaviour? Who knows?
Matthew Wood is Professor of Neuroscience at the University of Oxford, and some further thoughts on those exosomes next week, when we'll also have some memory and one of my favourite topics, paranoia. Production today by David Fisher and Simon Branthwaite, with neck massage, as usual, by Tiffany. I'm Robin Williams.